It's a wonderful thing to know that we can know that our Redeemer indeed has been provided, that He died on our behalf, that He rose from the dead, and that indeed now He lives and is at the right hand of God, and that He is indeed our Redeemer. We're thankful for Your presence tonight. This morning, we talked on the subject of being thankful. One of the things that we mentioned in that lesson was that thankful people are happy people. Thankful people are people who have learned to be content with such things as they have. And when you're content and you are thankful for what you have, then that tends to produce happiness in a person. Tonight, I'd like to talk about not happiness, but working off of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Of course, Andre read this passage to us before our Bible study this morning in our Bible reading. And I noticed how well it fit in with what we were going to talk about today in regards to thanksgiving and in regards to rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God will surpass all, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Wonderful words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'd like to look at that commandment, that imperative here, if you will, and notice that each part of it is something that we should take note of. We cannot disregard this text and be true to the Lord. This is not a suggestion to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's not something we can take or leave. It is a commandment. It is an imperative statement. And you might say, well, how can God command me to rejoice? Well, what he's saying is that if we understand that we're in the Lord, it should naturally follow that we are going to rejoice. Many people today are living in a negative state of discouragement, depression, and division. And it's due to sin. And we need to recognize that. God wants us to be transformed from the negativity caused by sin to positivity that is caused by the Holy Spirit. Consider these passages. Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, it says, "The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." You know, when we're filled with a knowledge of the will of God for us and a knowledge of the fact that our Redeemer lives and we live in Christ, that should produce unmistakable joy in each and every one of us. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is not about so-called fellowship suppers and fellowship sporting events and all of those kinds of things. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit instructs us in the will of God by the Word of God and we conform to His will, we indeed have every reason to rejoice in the practice of righteousness. That we're at peace with God and at peace with others who are at peace with God. And this joy that we share. Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Once again, this hope that we have, this comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not some supernatural, mystical thing, but it's us naturally turning our hearts and our minds to the word that the Holy Spirit has delivered to us, and we believe it and trust it and are found obeying it. And so in believing, we find that we will have all joy and all peace in God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 23, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is this joy. So rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 1 through 6 says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Do you notice how that in so many of these passages that joy and the Holy Spirit are right there in the same thought, aren't they? You know, it produces great joy when we read the Word of God and we're enlightened in His will. We're led in the paths of righteousness. This straight and narrow way that leads unto life. It produces hope, certainly, and it produces joy within us. We might find that when we turn to the Word of God and when we hear the Word of God, that we recognize that we're suffering affliction due to our sin, but the Word of God says you can be free from that. You can be relieved from that burden. And that brings great joy. So let's notice. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that you are in the Lord. Rejoice that you are recognizing Jesus as the Lord. He is both Lord and Christ, Peter declared to those on the day of Pentecost. Question is, are you in the Lord? Have you submitted to the Lord? Do you recognize Him as the authority in your life to live as He would have you to live? Rejoice in the Lord. The only true joy is found in the Lord and in being conformed to His image and walking in His way. Only those who have been scripturally baptized into Christ and live faithfully and die faithfully are in the Lord. Consider these passages, Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27, as we've been noticing in our adult Bible study. "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What does it mean to have faith in Christ Jesus? There are those who say, well, you know, if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. That's not wrong. It's just not a complete explanation. What they mean by that many times is that all you have to do is have faith in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. All you have to do is believe that He is the Savior. Well, the demons believe, and they tremble, James chapter 2. He explains here, "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus for..." You know, whenever you see that word "for" at the beginning of a statement, he's working off of what he has just previously said. He is explaining what he has just previously said. What does it mean that you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus? "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you have not expressed faith in Christ Jesus. Your faith is not complete. You are not trusting Him. You are not obeying Him. You are instead depending upon some emotional feeling or a thought that you might have rather than trusting what He says and doing what He tells us to do. "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, it says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord." I want you to notice here that the point that he's making about Timothy is that he was living a faithful life in the Lord, in keeping with the directions of the Lord, in keeping with the word of the Lord. He said, he will remind you of my ways in Christ, which I teach everywhere in every church. Revelation 14 and verse 13 reads, I heard the voice of heaven saying, a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So those who have been scripturally baptized into Christ, those who continue to live a faithful life in Christ the Lord, and those who then die in the Lord are blessed indeed throughout eternity. You might be here tonight and say, well, I've been baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. Are you continuing to live a faithful life? If you were to die tonight, would you die in the Lord or would you die apart from the Lord? Because there's a transgression that you're harboring, that you're justifying, that you're excusing in your life. We need to confess those sins and ask Him indeed to forgive us of those sins as we turn away from them. And more importantly, if you're here tonight, or just as importantly, if you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized into Christ, you're not in the faith. You're not in the Lord. We can only rejoice when we are in the Lord. And we would ask you to certainly consider and obey Christ this very evening and be found in the Lord as you obey Him in baptism and rise to walk with Him in newness of life. In the Lord, we have the great reward of heaven. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord. If I'm living in the Lord, then I know that I have a reward in heaven. And even Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, He said this in the midst of telling them that there were people who are going to reject their message, as they had rejected His message. But He says, look, you rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because as you're living in the Lord, you need to realize that you have a great reward in heaven. Don't focus on the persecution and the rejection that you're going to experience. Focus upon the great reward that your heavenly Father is going to give you. In Luke 10 and verse 20, He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. John 4 and verse 36, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Are you working in the vineyard of the Lord? Realize that as you do so, that you're bearing fruits for the Lord, that you and the Lord rejoice together. You know, we're told that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And as so then we recognize that as we rejoice with those who obey the gospel here and amongst us, that even the heavenly host are rejoicing. You know, I believe it's also true that every time we stand against temptation and we choose to do the right thing rather than give in to selfish, self-centered sin, that we have reason to rejoice and the heavenly host rejoice. That the right thing, that the Lord's will is being performed in our individuals' lives, and that our light is shining to the glory of God. We rejoice in the Lord, and we rejoice in truth. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, it tells us that love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. I know that that's true with me. I rejoice in coming to a knowledge of the truth. A love, and it's not about me coming to know it. It's about God revealing that in His Word. And me loving then to trust Him and obey Him and let that righteousness be seen in my life to His glory. Love rejoices in the truth. Not just in knowing it, but in practicing the truth. Think about that in regards to your marriage and your relationship to your spouse. Does God teach us how to treat our husband and how to treat our wife? Sure He does. Well, when we treat our husband or our wife the way that God tells us to treat our husband or wife, do you feel good about that? Sure. Are you happy about that? Yeah. Do you rejoice about that? Well, I don't know if I ever rejoiced about it, but you can. Rejoice that your marriage as God would have it to be. You might say, well, you know, we've got these personality conflicts and we've got, you know, this problem and that problem. You know, it's interesting to me that as we go on in life and in our marriage, you would think that some of these things would go away. Well, they do go away, but other things kind of pop up. You know, your hearing starts to go, and maybe with both of you, and, you know, sometimes you don't understand what somebody said and, you know, those kinds of things, and that gets you frustrated. And now, okay, now how are we going to handle this? Are we going to get frustrated with each other, or are we going to understand what's going on and try to, you know, and do this the way the Lord would have us to do it? And when we understand those things, then we've got reason to rejoice that we're overcoming. You know, we realize that, you know, when in any relationship, when you're kind of pecking at each other or whatever it might be, Satan just delights in that. You know, when, or if one is trying to be superior to the other, Satan just delights in that division. God wants us to come together into understanding. Love rejoices in the truth. Just not a knowledge of the truth. Love rejoices in the practice of the truth. You see, that's what he's saying. 2 John verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. You know, do you have a friend or a loved one from long ago that you haven't seen in a long time? You wonder, you know, are they still faithful? I mean, I've got people that when we were in Germany that I taught them the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and you know, you wonder, well, are they still faithful? You know, I haven't heard from them in a long time, and every once in a while I hear from one of them. You know, it was some time ago that I heard that one of the a couple that we had taught and worked with came from an institutional background. Of course, you know, when you're in the military, people come from all over the country and bring all kinds of different doctrines with them, you know, and you come into one little group, and so you've got, you know, all of those things to work out. But here's a fellow and his wife that not only learned the truth about institutionalism, but rejected it, repented, and embraced it. He served as an elder in one of the congregations in Nashville. And, you know, it's just brought great joy in knowing that. And you hear about others, you know, from time to time. I understand what John is saying here. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. Whenever you hear of those who are walking in truth, it's reason to rejoice. 3 John in verse 3 says, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. John is testifying that he walked in truth. And he hears from others that this individual walks in truth. And he says, I just rejoice that you continue to walk in truth. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in unity. Rejoice in the fact that we are one body here. In Philippians 2 and verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Division doesn't make God happy. It doesn't make your Bible teachers happy. It doesn't make your preacher or your elders happy. Division is turmoil and trouble. But Paul says to the Philippians, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, he made a similar expression. He says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Looking forward to seeing them and looking forward especially to see their walk in faith in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul speaks of joy often in Philippians, about 16 times. And his epistle was written while he was in a Roman prison. You might say, how can you write about being happy when you're in custody? You're not free to go where you want to go and do what you want to do. Did Paul have a reason to be kind of sad and dejected? You might say, yeah, he had a reason to do that, but he wasn't. He rejoiced that he was able to do what he was able to do, that even while he was there in custody, there were people he could teach the gospel to, and he did, and converted them. He had reason to rejoice. He wasn't able to go every place he wanted to go, but he had time to write, had time to write letters, had time to write much of what we know as the New Testament. And so he rejoiced in what he was able to do. And he tells us, you need to learn that. Regardless of what your condition of life is, you have reason to rejoice always, always. You mean even when I've lost a loved one? Even when my health is bad, even when my finances is bad, even when a relationship is bad, yeah, because you have the Lord. You're in the Lord, and you have reason to rejoice. He knows what you're going through. He cares about you, and you can get through it knowing Him and knowing that He loves you. The joy of a Christian is not a moody, temperamental or fickle emotion that comes and goes like the changing winds. We're not happy one moment and sad the next. It's a steady commitment, a steady attitude of life that I'm going to rejoice because I'm in the Lord and I'm living for the Lord to glorify Him. Our joy in Christ does not change. Consider, as you just kind of scan through the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul was saying that his rejoicing did not change in freedom or in bondage. Chapter 1 and verses 15 through 18, in the midst of friends or of enemies, there were those who didn't like Paul. And there were those, of course, like the Philippians, who did like him. He said, it doesn't matter, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of life or death, chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. I don't know which is better for me, to be alive and remain, which is better for you, or to die and to go and be with the Lord. Well, we don't really have that choice to make, do we? In life or in death, Paul is saying, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. In health or in sickness, chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. In prosperity or adversity, I've learned both to be full and to be in want. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I've learned to do that. I've learned that I can do that. I can learn that in wealth or poverty, that if I'm in the Lord, I have all that I have need of. And I can have every reason to rejoice. So coming back to the passage that we notice, consider with me once again, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord Are you in the Lord? If you're not, then why don't you come into the Lord tonight and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. If you're not in the Lord, will you please recognize how life hangs on a thread? That in just in that instant, just that quick, our life can drastically change. We hear about it in the news. You know, some accident someplace. You know, you say, well, that always happens to somebody else. Well, sometimes the somebody else is you. Sometimes the somebody else is someone who's very close to you. And we think, well, it's never happened to me. Well, it never happened to them before either. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. If I'm in the Lord, I don't have to worry about anything. He knows the things that I have need of. He will supply me with the things that I need, not necessarily the things that I want. But I can rejoice that He will supply with the things that I need. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Before you've even seen the answer to the prayer, thank God for the answer, regardless of how He answers it. Because you know He has your best interest at heart. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you explain the peace that you have in the Lord? Can you explain it? Well, we try to. But it surpasses our understanding, doesn't it? Because it goes to trust. It goes to, I believe that God is true, that what He has promised He'll come through for, and I can trust Him. In good times and bad times, whatever it might be, I have every reason to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Be thankful. Be happy. You're in the Lord. Are you in the Lord? If not, why not? Why not be in the Lord tonight? Why not be baptized into Christ and walk with Him in newness of life? If you're here tonight and you say, well, I was baptized into Christ, but I don't know if I'm still in the Lord. If I'm in a right, well, let's make everything right. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If there's something amiss in your life, can we pray with you and for you? We're instructed to do that. Let's each and every one of us tonight leave this place rejoicing. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, please come as we stand and sing this song.